Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, or whatever time of day it is, wherever you are, whenever you are. Thank you so much for joining us. My guest tonight is Rebecca Laughing Crow Gamble, who has been on the show several times, but she's doing something new, and I think it's very exciting, and I want to share it with you. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And what a strange time on this planet. Most of you know that in the United States we had another mass shooting, this time with a huge number of deaths and casualties, and we're all reeling from it, and nobody can figure out what exactly happened with this guy, although some of the information is coming together. And in the middle of all this, I've got friends all over the world that I mostly connect through on a daily basis with Facebook, on Facebook chat. And somebody was commiserating, and she said, "Did you hear what happened in Marseille?" She lives in the south of France. Marseille is right there. And two young women were murdered by a terrorist waiting for a train in the train station. We didn't hear about it here in the United States. I listened to BBC News to try and get a sense of what's going on all over the world, because we don't get it in our regular news broadcasts from the American media. But I hadn't heard about that, and it just blew me away. You know, she was totally freaked out. It could have been one of her kids. And today, I have a dear friend who lives way north in Canada, in Edmonton, almost at the Arctic Circle, in a place that, you know, it's Canadian, for crying out loud. You know, the people are wonderful to each other. And they, too, had a terrorist murder in their town. Somebody was killed with a knife. I can't tell you what's going on this planet at this point, but every time we try to make it political or make it psychological or try and get a handle on the individual circumstance, I think we miss the point. And I think what's going on is that whatever name you want to give to the darkness, we're in a point of transition where that darkness is being forced off of this planet and is fighting tooth and nail to keep us fearful and afraid of each other. And it's coming up over and over and over again, and it's all crazy stuff. But basically, the darkness is about lies and about fear. And they are attempting to make us afraid of each other by creating fear and creating distrust. The opposite of that is love and cooperation and trusting each other. And we will get there. And it happens around each of these insane moments when the darkness lashes out and somebody dies and it's terrible. People rush in and do incredible, heroic, wonderful things for each other. That's been one of the things about the coverage of the carnage in Las Vegas, is the stories of the people that helped, the people who risked their lives to help people that they didn't know, the people who figured out ways to provide aid and get people to the hospital and all kinds of other things. The stories are extraordinary. And that's all there, and it's all there all the time. It just, we don't know it's there because there isn't a crisis to rise to. So on the one hand, don't let the darkness cloud your vision. Don't let all this, oh my God, the world is a scary place and I have to protect myself from all these, whoever it is they're pointing at the moment. And remember that all these people that help, all these people that take care of each other, who would take care of you if you needed it, are right there. We just don't notice. We don't notice because the circumstances are not such that they do those things. But it's always there. You know, part of my life when I was much younger was doing ambulance and rescue, being one of the people that got called out at all kinds of crazy times for crazy reasons and went and helped people I didn't know because I got the training and I wanted to help and they needed it. And that was all there was to it. There wasn't anything else. And that's going on all over the world and certainly all over this country. And so let's, as Mr. Rogers said, when terrible things happen, look for the helpers. Watch the helpers and watch all the love that they are and all the things that they're doing for the people in trouble. And Mr. Rogers was right, as he often was. And may we all be blessed and may we take very good care of each other, both physically and emotionally in the middle of all this insanity. So I hope you are safe and warm and enjoying this full moon, which is pretty extraordinary where I am. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we'll get to have some fun with Rebecca Laughing Crow Gamble. Thanks for being on the show again.
Hi there. Hey, you know, I live in Mr. Rogers' hometown.
That's right. I forgot that. You know, when I was teaching elementary school age kids, I had to watch Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street to keep up with the kids. And I really, really couldn't stand him.
I hated him too, even as a kid.
You know, he was just running at a speed that, you know, I didn't get it. But for a certain age group, he was talking at the exact right level in the exact right way. So, wonderful man. Anyway.
Kind of struck me as a creeper.
All righty then. Okay, now let's tear down some more icons. It's one of the things I can depend on from you is, you know, you're just going to say whatever comes up.
You know, I actually have quite a few filters in place. It's just that no one can tell. God help any of you if you figure out how to read my mind.
Well, as I was saying to you before we got on the show, your breadth of knowledge and depth of knowledge and your life experience, I find totally extraordinary. And you've been on the show a couple of times and you've told your story. And I'm very happy to say that you're going to be on the show on the 26th, on October 26th. And we're going to be talking about some other aspects of who you are. And I think that's going to be fascinating. But right now we're talking about a project you've been putting together for a long time. And the new book, which is the... is this the first year curriculum? Is that how this is going to be used?
Yeah, basically. I had taught the Introduction Apprenticeship, which is a one-year program. Mm-hmm. And it just became apparent that we really did need a textbook for people to refer back to. People were getting together and having these study groups to go over their notes together again, and things were being left out, and then things were kind of evolving on their own outside the program, which is fantastic, but keeping everybody on the same page was kind of a question mark.
Literally.
And then, so, yeah, literally.
So the program is called the American Shamanism Community. Did I get it right?
We decided, no, like there's a panel. I don't make any of these decisions on my own. We vote on it. But the group is called the American Shamanism Movement. And the decision on that was, we had to really sit with, like, what are we doing here? We're not just forming a church and faith community. We're not just forming a new paradigm around farming and food supply. We're not just forming a new spirituality base. I don't even want to say new, but at the same time, it is a spirituality in this area based on being willing to fight for the planet and the future generations based in love. You know, we really had to take a look at what are we doing exactly? And we realized that the thrust of the thing was to build a community structure that could be replicated all over the United States that would be something we could support instead of, you know, the mainstream culture, if you will, the mainstream paradigm. Because in most of our minds, the way you really make changes is you create something else. I mean, things only exist as long as they serve a need. So you find a better way to serve the need, and then you kind of starve out the other way. So so we went with the movement, and we have different branches. We have a group that deals with issues around death culture and bringing home funerals back and helping people with that. We have a group that deals with the legalities of being able to practice these things in the United States. We're debating back and forth as a community if we're going to push forward with establishing a recognized church or not. There is no such thing as a shamanic church for white people in the United States. So we'd be setting a whole new precedent. And part of the consideration there is, do we really want to invest in that when we could invest in community projects? So,
right.
I mean, there's just a lot of, there's a lot going on there. but the introduction class is meant to be, if you don't actually want to go out and, you know, go forth and conquer, if you don't want to take on the world or whatever, it's meant to be everything you need to not just be introduced to many different forms of shamanism from around the world and animism as well, but also to take teachings and perspectives from those things and apply them to your own life so that you can benefit yourself and your family. And the program is intended for you to take the program once and then kind of rinse and repeat until you feel like you're done with it. So like we have a class on the elements, and we cover one element. So the assumption is you're going to go back and rinse and repeat with the other elements, you know. But it's been a good thing for us. It's been good for the community.
Well, it's, you know, I'm having a wonderful time reading it, and it's a big book. It's what, 400 and some pages.
432 pages.
But it's a full year program.
With the heart, whatever.
But it's a full year program, which is kind of the point to it. And I've obviously been around the block with shamanism for a very long time. But one of the things I love about the stuff that you do is I always learn more. And you're an excellent writer. I love reading this stuff rather than I'm not slogging through it. It's actually fun to read. And so this is the book that's the introduction first year to what is a four-year apprenticeship. Do I have it right?
Right. This first, thank you, by the way, because I'm actually pretty insecure about my writing. but this is, the first year is, it actually... kind of developed out of a couple different places, but it started as I wanted to make a response to an increase in frauds, frankly, and abuse of practitioners in our community. And I started with a two-hour lecture on being able to identify the real thing from the not real thing very quickly.
Right.
To protect yourself. And someone asked me to go home and type up an outline of what I had said so they could review it. I went home and I did that. And when I was done, it was 89 pages. and then it developed into, people had said we want to go deeper into some of these aspects that you talked about. So that became a 6-week program or something like that. And then when I went over to the spirit world and just said, hey, I think we need a tradition for our people here. And they said, yes, we do too. Be the boots on the ground kind of thing. it turned into a year-long apprenticeship. So what is different with this as compared to the Earth 3 years is this program is you're learning different cultures from different areas. We talk about different groups here in the United States that we work with, as well as different practitioners from other countries. We make recommendations based on who people in our community have worked with. We keep a running kind of like a membership account of people who have gone through the program. So if you're looking for someone to do some sort of work with you, it helps add some legitimacy. The other 3 years are, if you want to take up our tradition, this is our tradition. But we don't make that assumption in the introduction program. We assume you know absolutely nothing about shamanism or animism, and we want to help you sample everything, basically, which is impossible, you know? But right. We try. And I think we make a good effort because there's the textbook, but then there's also the content. You know, we meet once a month for 4 hours, and if there's interest in any direction expressed, then we add more of that content. So sometimes we talk about more stuff from the Middle East. Sometimes we talk about stuff from the Philippines, you know, whatever the people are interested in. So I think we do a good job of that. This next year, I'm kind of excited because I'm bringing back I asked a couple of my former students to come and kind of add their perspective. So we have people who have taken the program so they can go a little bit deeper with it again. But they each have, like, they came to us with their own tradition. And these people are the sort of people who live their tradition. So we have someone who comes from a traditional family that practiced heathenism from, I honestly don't remember what area, but his parents both got off the boat kind of thing. And we have someone who has studied druidry and does the druid thing and has for a long time. We have someone else who's a dedicated yogini. And normally I kind of cringe at that stuff because I was spoiled and I was taught yoga by someone who, like, that was their life path. So I'm very picky, but this woman, she's as picky as I am, you know, not judgmental, just very discerning.
Right.
And then we have someone coming from a traditional witchcraft background. So we're kind of going to have all of us in this group to, you know, give the different perspectives and the different cultural layers. And since we're recording it, I want as much in this as possible. So I'm kind of excited to see how this is going to go and which direction it's going to go in. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I wish I lived closer.
Well, it's online. That's what we're doing different this next year. I have mixed feelings about that. We have a few people in other states and thus, you know, that who have disabilities and are housebound and things like that. We have one woman who's very active in the online community, but she's bedridden, you know. So I'm really excited that we're only doing this online once. We're recording the classes this next year. We're only doing it live once, and that's going to be like a downloadable thing. And I'm excited that we're going to be able to reach into people's houses and talk to them. We don't normally get that. But I'm also kind of like, you know, there are things that I can't translate to the online platform. I just can't. Right. So we're going to adapt as best we can and have examples and demonstrate it and all of that. But it's going to be up to them to build their own experience there. So I'm both excited and also kind of annoyed.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, well, classic laughing Crusoe, right?
Well, you know, one of the things that you're doing, which I think is totally wonderful, is shamanism, and we should at some point define animism, is indigenous spirituality and healing from all over the world. So there are many, many traditions. I don't think there is any part of the world that doesn't have some version of this way of life, this way of looking at how the universe works, this approach. And that's part of what is always exciting to me is when I see another little piece of some other tradition that's exactly like something else with a cult, with just a cultural difference. Oh, this is exact, just the way these other folks do it. Because it's just another confirmation that it's a worldview. It's a way of being in the world, and that is happening everywhere. You know, there are 3,000 in, you know, big air quotes, religions, that are formalized and have their whole structure, but way behind that and way before that, there is an indigenous understanding that was there before all of that crystallized. And, you know, that's, you know, when people say, oh, this is New Age, I go, no, this is the most ancient thing on the planet. I am so not New Age. And most people don't get that. They think all of this stuff just showed up somewhere in the 60s with hippies. And it's like, no, they just noticed a few things.
I have met some very New Age people referring to themselves as shamanic practitioners or shamans or whatever.
Right.
I have definitely been exposed to that. It was quite shocking for me to experience that. I guess once again, you know, I got spoiled.
Right.
And that was kind of, that was something to take in.
Well, and there's all the redefinitions that are going on, urban shamanism, and, you know, give it some other twist here and there, and say that you don't need a teacher and you don't need a tradition. And that's, you know, is there some way that one can do that? Is there some way one could do that? I suppose so. But I think that the way that one does that is to be isolated in a cave somewhere, which is why those people did that.
When I look at that and I think about how this is all rolled out for me, you know, so I came with, there were a couple of family lineages that sort of woke up in me and one that was formally passed to me. But my family all died before they had the opportunity to help me figure that out. You know, and I ran. I got away from that as quickly as I could. I did everything I could to get away from it. And it cost me everything. It cost me my home and my health and my family and blah, blah, blah. After the doctors had told me, hey, you need organ transplants, but we're not going to give them to you because you don't really have a chance of survival anyway. And I went home to die when I finally gave in, you know. And most of the teaching, I would say most of my skills, I mean, I've had human teachers, but everything that I do came from over there or someone from over there. So I think you can learn the practices, but to have the skill to apply those to another human being is a totally different thing.
Right.
To have the ability to apply that to serving a community, which in my mind, to do shamanic work, you can have all the skills in the world, but you're not doing shamanic work unless you're actually in service to your community.
Unless,
So to do that, to have the skill to do that, no, you really do need a human or a few humans, as the case may be.
Right. We're going to go to a break in just a bit. I want to make sure people know where to find you online.
Well, I have my own website now, so that's exciting. It's RebeccaGambleHolisticPractitioner.com. You can also find me on Facebook and all that fun stuff, but all those links are on the website, so it's probably the best place to go.
Right. So spell it, because there's some quirks to the
weird
spelling.
Yeah. It's RebeccaGamble, holisticpractitioner.com.
Yep. Terrific. And when the course stuff is available, they can access it from there.
It'll be up. Yeah, it'll be on there. People are signing up now if they're interested. It's best to send me an email if that's something you'd like to do. The email is embodyhealing, embodyhealing@gmail.com.
Great. And we'll talk a little bit more about how people can access that and when it's all going to happen in the second half of the show. So, I had a question I was going to ask you, but it's gone. It'll come back wherever it went to. Hate when that happens, at least when it happens and people can notice. So, what, you know, I have all kinds of things that I want to talk about, but I don't want to start them now because we're going to have to go to the break. So, what shall we do?
Well, can we go on break and just do after?
Something like that.
All right.
Well, I'm just waiting for the prompt to be told we're going to break. You know how that is. We're going to go to a break and we'll be back shortly unless we get taller. My guest is Rebecca Laughing Crow Gamble, and we're talking about shamanism and all kinds of other fun stuff. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have a lot more fun right after the break.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
Blue is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives and the Ad Council.
If a disaster struck right now, what would you and your family do first? Would you stay where you are or leave? What if you and your family were separated? Would your kids know what to do? How would you get in touch with them if your cell phone isn't working or the subways aren't running? Don't wait until a disaster strikes to figure it out. It's your responsibility to make a plan for you and your family ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. In this online tool, you'll be faced with real-life challenges forcing you to make quick decisions at every turn to teach you the importance of being prepared for a disaster. Without a plan, it's like you're putting your family in a disaster. Visit nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. A public service announcement brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
If a disaster struck right now, what would you and your family do first? Would your kids know what to do? How would you get in touch with them if you're separated and your cell phone isn't working? Don't wait until a disaster strikes to figure it out. It's your responsibility to make a plan for you and your family ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Empowering you for a better life.
This is Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
Rebecca Laughing Crow Gamble, and we're talking about shamanism and her new book, An Introduction to Shamanism, which is the beginning of a four-year program that sounds wonderful. So we were going, while it's an impossible definition, come up with some kind of simple definition of shamanism and animism, which most people probably haven't even heard of.
Is that my go-to run with
sure.
the definition? So this is appropriate because I'm teaching a class on the difference between Canada and a retreat. So. well, all right. So animism is easier because shamanism is fits into animism. You know, shamanism right. is generally animistic, but animism is not necessarily shamanism. And there are different ways that you can define these, but generally speaking, animism is a belief that there's a life force in everything, that you can talk to everything, that there's a intrinsic intelligence to things, which I imagine most people listening to your show would agree with. Like, duh, right?
Right. Most of the people listening to the show would not be totally surprised to that. And anybody who knows me certainly knows that I have conversations with all kinds of things.
Oh, for sure. and then shamanism can fit into animism, but there are a few differences. The word shamanism originates. Now, it is a Russian-English word. It is not a Mongolian word, but it comes from a root word that basically means priest in a Tungzic Evenki Mongolian language. And what's very interesting about that culture is that you don't just have like one shaman and that's it. You have the shaman of the forge. You have the shaman that handles divination. You have the shaman mm-hmm. that handles healing. You have shamans that deal with just sky spirits and blessings and that kind of fun stuff. And you have black shamans who deal with more their energy, their power, supposedly in their belief system comes from the north. So they might do all the things that a white shaman would do, but they would also perform curses and things like that. So there are different, you know, it's not just one job description. What is interesting in that culture is that to be a shaman, you must be in service to the community. If you practiced as a shaman for decades and then you stop serving the community, you're no longer considered a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we kind of use the word in a broader context now, the word shamanism as a belief system, because more accurately speaking, in Mongolia, we're talking about Tengriism. Tengri is the sky god, if you will. I feel like I'm way right. oversimplifying and it feels like I'm misspeaking.
Right.
For time, you know. So we use the word shamanism in America in a much broader context. And generally what we're talking about with that is we're talking about someone who works directly with the spiritual world and has direct experience there. To shamanize is actually a phrase in English. And what that means is to work with the spirits on the other side to bring them here and to either put them into something or to use spiritual power from the other side in some way. But that it implies imbuing a actual intelligent spirit into something or spirits into something. So when we sat down with, you know, what we were doing, what we were going to call what we were doing, because we really didn't want to use the S word. There's so many politics around that. We wanted to call it anything but that. When we really right. sat with, what do we call what we're doing here? We took a look at, all right, what exactly are we doing? And we had some of the key characteristics of shamanism, and to shamanize fit what we were doing. So there is this concept of working directly with the spiritual world, having direct relationships with spirits. There is also the aspect of working to keep balance between the worlds, not just the world of animal, people, plant, earth, sky, mm-hmm. water, whatever, but also the spiritual world. And I would even say spiritual world, plural.
Right.
There's this idea of being in service. There's also the idea of, and this is something that I'm finding many people are surprised about, you know, shamanism is not a healer tradition. Generally speaking, when I go to other countries and I work with tribes, you know, you have shamans that do healing, which is great, but not all of them do. You can be a shaman that doesn't do healing work or whatever that tribe, that culture uses as far as a phrase for you or a title for you. But shamanism is, you know, I present it in my classes this way, that you have certain priorities, and the priorities are protecting your people, getting them resources, and helping them stay healthy. So when you look at it that way, you know, resources and protection come before healing does. So in
right.
a certain way, there's a seeking for security and a providing for, and also a warrior aspect. Shamanism in a lot of ways is about war in a good way, and work in a good way, work and war. I think we use it, I don't know, in my community, I don't know if I can say we use it primarily for healing, because we very much believe that we should walk our talk here. And
right.
so that means being politically involved and things like that. And we have meetups a couple times a month in the community here, and we have several satellites as well that have several monthly meetups. And some of those are prayer meetups where we're doing prayers on the drums, or prayers through a meditative style praying. We also have meetups for improving our skills together. We have a public journeying meetup, which is a blast. It's my favorite thing ever. So I don't know that I would say that we use it primarily for healing, but I think in America, most people are more familiar with the healing aspect of shamanism.
Right.
But I feel like for what makes shamanism different in comparison to many of the other paths out there in America today is that, you know, we're not afraid of ick. We're not afraid of the
yeah.
dark stuff.
Right.
And we have a tendency to look at that not just without fear, but also, you know, okay, this is some ick, but it's also a person. And what is my responsibility here? We have a huge emphasis, at least in our area, on what is my responsibility rather than what is my right. We kind of drop the entitlement thing.
Right.
So we take a look at, okay, this person, you know, I got to say, the way we handle abuse in our community is radically different than any of the other, you know, I serve at 9 churches right now, interfaith sanctuaries, whatever. And I've been a member of clergy since 1996. And the way we handle difficult issues in our community is so radically different. And it's because of this concept of, okay, an abuser is a person too. A spirit of sickness is a person too, you know, et cetera. How do we handle the spirits that eat blood, for instance? You know, okay, how do we handle that in a good way? And you can. Some of these difficult situations that people want to run away from, we're not runners, you know?
Right.
Some of them may want to be, but we're not runners.
Right. Yeah, when people ask me, you know, what's being a shaman or how did you get there? What I typically say is the training is getting to the point where, similarly to what medical people have to go through and not being afraid of being around people in pain, seeing blood, that kind of stuff. With shamanism, it's being unperturbed by weirdness. So that in the middle of something that everyone else would be totally running from, you stand there and say, and what would you have me do now? You
well,
just ask. You just asking spirit for instructions.
One of my teachers would say, what do I bring to the situation? When I was in Peru last, the country shut down in a protest for 3 days. And, I, so suddenly found myself in this country as the targeted populace because the problem was over American, what we were told were American. It was actually Canadian companies targeting the people's water supply.
Right.
So they were targeting Americans. And here I was in Peru, not speaking any of the, well, having a little bit, but not much of the native language. And my teacher had lived there his whole life, born and raised there, of course, and had never seen his country like that. And here we were behind, you know, barricades of flaming tires and barbed wire. And when people didn't have barricades, they would put a log across the road and sit on it. You know, lines of angry people with their, they don't have guns there, but whatever they could use for weapons.
Right, right.
And to come to that, and I think most people would have had a lot of fear, but he and I were both looking at, okay, what can we bring to the situation? You know, so I was doing like, I was doing basically healing sessions and such out of the trunk at these different barricades, which was interesting. It was quite an experience to
right.
have all these traditional and non-traditional tourist folks and not speaking most of their languages and working out of the trunk. And a lot of the community elders would let us through because they would say, you're good people. And they would let only us through.
Right.
Even when there were lots of people there. And to me, that's, I do not call myself a shaman. I feel that that is something that the community should call a person rather than a person should call themselves. But to me, that is what it's really about. Coming to a situation saying, this is scary. This is hard. I might die, you know, again.
Right.
And, what can I do here? What do I bring? And then, you know, processing later and crying under your blanket or whatever you do.
Right. Right.
We're right. Gonna go, you know?
I figure that all the people in the Bible who were called to do outrageous things, you know, Moses and Noah and the other stories must have had really interesting conversations with God when they were told to do these things. You want me to do what? Am I going to die? I'll do it anyway. You ask me, I'll do it. But am I going to die? Is it going to hurt a lot?
I've had those conversations with God.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You know, it's like, yes, I committed to doing this and I'm here and I'm asking you what to do, but give me a heads up, okay? Yeah, there are scary things on this side of the veil and scary things on the other side of the veil. And you go and say, I'm here. What's my job? But really? You want me to do what? You want me to do what? I can do that?
That's a great definition. Shamanism is doing the scary.
Well, and it's going on the other side of the veil to do what needs to be done there so that this side of the veil will get its what it needs or correction or whatever it is. But yeah, it's doing the scary stuff. And there's certainly enough of that to do on the planet at the moment.
Yeah. And I mean, there are people with different ideas about all that. I've talked to folks here in the United States who do shamanic practitioner work, and they only work with, as it was put to me, with compassionate spirits willing to help humanity. I mean, I guess you could do that. I guess that needs done. I would feel like I wasn't doing my job if I did that, but that's my right. personal feelings rather than like a rule for everyone. Or be it for me to set rules. That's not my job in the universe. Thank God.
Right. Rules. I think rules are in one way necessary and in another way create most of the problems in the world.
Right.
Because it allows people not to be responsible. I'm following the rules. If I'm following the rules, I'm a good person. I'm doing the right thing. Like, yeah, but there's chaos and mayhem around you and you're not dealing with it.
Yeah. I just feel like so many things are relevant or, you know, it depends on the situation. You know, even the concept of what's good and what's bad is dependent on what outcome you're seeking.
Right.
You know, killing cancer is great for your client, but it's bad for the cancer, you know? So once again, we get back to that shamanism as a warlike thing. To heal is right. also to kill at the same time, you know?
Right.
So I don't really believe in hard, fast rules. I mean, there are a few. I think pedophilia is wrong every single time, no matter what.
Right.
But I mean, other than like a few things like that, you know, I don't know that it's possible to sum up any human experience in a set of laws or rules. Humans just aren't standard. Life isn't standard.
Right. Right. And most of what societal and governmental and religious regulations and rules and all the rest of it is about is making it seem like everybody can conform to one set of standards. And
how ridiculous is that?
Right. Right. It also immediately creates outsiders and people who are defined as being bad and all of that stuff, because conformity is what one must do. I was never very good at that.
It's a prank, huh?
That's why we're such good friends. Kindred spirits. So we've got the 1 year book. Do people start that whenever they come and say they're interested, or is there a timing to all of this?
Well, like I said, this is the first and, in my intention, only time that we're going to be doing this live coming up next year. We're going to meet one Saturday a month for 4 hours online. We're going to use the Zoom platform because it's most reliable from what I've used.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $300 for the year. Because we wanted to make it as accessible as possible and yet still pay the bills.
I know how that is.
Yes. Because we're going to be doing it live, it starts in January, ends in December. After that, we're going to be recording these sessions, and it will be up on the Online Learning Center with my LLC, and people will be able to just download it and do it whenever they feel like it. You know, send in the assignments and be done with it. The way, right. I hate that word, but the way that the program works is you have the reading, and then you have the 4-hour class. Some of that, not all of that is lecture. A lot of that is discussion. A lot of that is practice, playing with things,
right.
basically. And then you have a thing to do over the next month.
Right.
We tried to keep that to 10 minutes a day or less. Most of it is not something you have to do every day anyway. But you do this one exercise that I've had more than a few people say, I did this one thing and it totally changed my life permanently. So
right.
I like to think that they're useful, at least. And then there are a few response questions. And you turn the answers to the response questions. And that's how I know you're keeping up. That's how I find problems. And I know how I can get you on the side and be like, hey, what's going on? You know, that's how we can help people develop. And also find people's strengths. So we can say, hey, do you want to share this? This was really amazing. We've got this great community that's come up around this. And people with real friendships, and just, it's been amazing. So this next year, we'll be doing it from January to December. And then after that, it'll be just a downloadable thing that they can do whenever. We're talking about actually getting to some of the satellite communities in the flesh the year after, but that's so far ahead that I'm not
right.
thinking about too much. The concept behind that is there's 12 classes. We're looking at breaking them into, you know, 4 sets of 3 or whatever, and just having a few weekends more spaced out, sort of like
right.
a travel apprenticeship. So we'll see how we figure that out.
And then for the following 3 years for the actual apprenticeship, what's the structure for that?
It's pretty intense, David.
No doubt.
I've done a lot of training in a lot of places, and I've never seen anything like this. So how this came to be was I basically took a look at what was happening in my community, and I took a look at what I knew, and I was like, you know, I can share all these things that I have from all these different tribes that I've worked with. But it's not the same, because, you know, these practices come up out of the land and come out of the people and come out of the spirit world for that area, for those people.
Right.
And I could see the dramatic difference if I did the exact same ceremony in Peru or Ireland or America. I would get totally different experiences, even though it was the exact same thing, you know, because of course I had to play with that, right? So I went to the spirit world, and I called a council of all the folks that I work with and a few more who were interested. And I said, hey, you know, I think that Americans in general are a new people. And I think we need our own way. We need a real way that's not standardized and not taking from someone else and not something that isn't for us. I think we need our way.
Right.
And if you agree with me, I will make myself available. And I left, right? And promptly a day later fell into one of my strange sicknesses where my husband was worried for my life for 3 days, you know, how that is. And I kind of came out of it. He heard me starting to kind of stir, and he was doing this, you know, I was worried. I thought about calling the doctor, but I know that this happens sometimes. And I was like, shut up and give me a notebook. Right. And I just wrote it all out. And that's where this stuff came from. And then kind of organized it and clarified it. And honestly, this thing taught me a lot, and it continues to teach me a lot. It's completely spun some of the things that I thought I knew on its head. It's been fantastic. But I actually, the first year of training, I actually took back to the spirit world, and I was like, look, we can't do this to people. Like, you're going to kill people. So we
details,
actually had to rearrange
details.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're going to kill people. I can't do this to them. But the first year, the spirits were really adamant about how this was set up. The first year, you do kind of like your shadow work. You do your deep, dark, ugly. And then there is an optional initiation at the end. And that is the hardest thing in the entire program, that initiation right there.
The hardest thing in this program is, we're running out of time and I want to hear the rest of it, but we can't do that this minute. I'm sorry. let's tell people where to find you again. What's your web address?
Rebecca Gamble, holisticpractitioner.com. There is a page on there for the American Shamanism Movement. We also have a Facebook community. If you just look up American Shamanism Movement community, that's a great little group.
Yep, it certainly is. Rebecca, always a pleasure, and we always run out of time. So we're just going to have you back. And I know there's a totally different topic that is going to be fascinating that we will talk about next time. And that's going to be October 26th. So,
yeah.
Rebecca Laughing Crow Gamble, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And always a pleasure to hang out. And if anybody out there is curious about who is this guy David and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and there's all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, including a link to schedule a 20-minute free phone conversation to assess what's going on with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it might be, and see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show, go to thefarkasfiles.com. And the whole archive, we've been doing this 6 years now, so there's hundreds and hundreds of interviews with fascinating people. Of course, the easiest way to listen now is the Empower Radio app in both flavors of smartphones, and you can download that and access all of the shows for Empower Radio and be able to see the whole archive and choose whatever show you want to listen to. So, thank you one and all for spending some time with me and my wonderful guest. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week. We'll be right back.